and I want to say it once again. Let's begin in Hebrews chapter 4. And for now, I'm only going to read verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I know all of us have days, weeks, and months where we are doing so many things that we could not, to care for those things for which we know that need attending to. There's a lot of things that's going on with us, and we have to attend to those things. We will work all day long on things that we know had to be done, but at the end of the day, we do not feel like we had accomplished anything of any value. Sometimes this would be true. Sometimes this may not be true. We may really never know whether it was so or not. The fact is we have this flesh, and when it is involved, I can never really tell when I am doing something that Jesus Christ may call a good work. Did I do that thing which honored the Lord today? Sometimes I may have, but for certain there are times that I have not. There's one time in Scripture where our Lord said something that was done was a good work. Matthew 26:10-13 we read, when Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, to be told for a memorial of her.
Yes, sir.
What was the work done here? Ministering.
Yes.
Bowing down to. Worshiping Jesus Christ for who he is and what he would do. At this time, it was what he would do. It is a good work to minister to bow down to, and to worship Jesus Christ for what he has done. Not because I call it a good work, but because Jesus Christ calls it a good work.
Sir.
And because of that, because he calls it a good work, then it is.
Yes.
The work mentioned in Matthew is fruit manifested. Manifested by the object of that work. The work was done towards Jesus Christ. There are a lot of things we do, and I said we. I'm not talking about everyone else out there.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things we do which are not towards the Lord Jesus Christ. But we think we are.
Yeah.
We would like to believe they are. This old heart deceives us at times to make us think they are. God teaches us in time that this is not always the case. Now, maybe you think that what I've said thus far has nothing to do with the subject. If you think that, you would be wrong. We must work to enter in to that rest. We read in Scripture, one said to our Lord, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. The burden of believing Jesus Christ, that yoke which is placed on us, is very light.
Yeah.
Why is it light? Because he has bore all the weight of my sin.
Yes.
Not only that, but that which is needed to work those works towards Jesus Christ are given to us by God himself.
Amen.
So God does not leave it up to me to make sure I do the right thing. He enables me to do that for which is required. But we also have that burden of this flesh, which is very heavy and cannot be upheld by the believer. This flesh wants to do, do, do. In doing, it is never satisfied.
Yes.
I think Earl used to say, you give this flesh a little and it will take the whole plate. Give it a little bite and it will take the whole plate.
Yep.
This flesh loves to do. This makes it an effort or work to enter into that rest. But this worker, this labor to enter, is not grievous or hard, but gladly accepted by believers by his grace. After all, the one who places this yoke on us also gives us that which we need to carry that burden out. This woman, when she did this thing, she knew what she was and what she had done. She had people saying things about her and about what she could have done, which were all true. But Jesus Christ is not interested in what you can do for anyone else. What you do for anyone else. And notice I didn't say what you can do. You can do nothing unless it is given you of the Father. Christ is concerned with what you do towards him. And concern may not be the best word. I couldn't think of another word, so I'm going to leave it at that. What is it to work to rest? Or what is it to labor to rest? Because labor is the word that's used in our text. This kind of begs some questions, don't it? What is rest and what is work?
Yes.
So number one, what is rest? And I fully realize that the title seems to be a contradiction, working to rest. But we have to fully realize what rest is and what work is and where it comes from, I might add. So now rest. We read in our text in verses 4 through 9. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief, again he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. God in creation that we read in Genesis did rest the seventh day. That's what we read here. God rested. As has been said here before, God did not rest because he was tired. He rested because he was done. But there is another rest that this is speaking of here. Although, as this scripture also says, this work was done from before the foundation of the world, it was also accomplished in time. But just to be clear, the seventh day of creation where God rested is not what it's talking about here when it says this work was done from the foundation of the world. The seventh day rest is that time when God rested from his works. God rested, but man did not rest there. There's another work that this is talking about, a work that is to be spoken about as much as we possibly can. That is the work of Jesus Christ the Lord. Hebrews 4 and verse 10. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Jesus Christ ceased from his own works, which he did. He gained down to do this very specific work, and then he sat down and rested. Again, not because he was tired, but because he was finished. Jesus Christ told us when he was about to give up the ghost, he said, it is finished. Jesus Christ is no longer doing that work. You hear a lot of people talking about getting under the blood, as if Christ is dying daily on that tree and is shedding his blood. They talk about getting under the blood. You can't. You are either under the blood, put there by God, or you will never be there. Psalm 37:7 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The only place we can find rest is in Jesus Christ the Lord. But again, in Psalms 132:13 and 14 we read, for the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. There is a place where the child of God desires to dwell, a place where they want to live. The child of God, when calling to mind through the gospel and by that by faith given him of God, looks to Zion, that holy hill of God where the wrath of God was poured out on his son so that the captives might go free. His works is where I can rest. He was made flesh. He was made a curse. He was made sin. He died the death I should have died. He paid the penalty I should have paid. He was sent to hell in my stead. But thank God it did not stop there. He was raised again for our justification. Him being raised to life and his people being in him are raised to eternal justification. That is, we are right in the sight of God. Him being raised and then him sitting down on the Father's right hand is at rest. Those in him are also at rest in him.
Yes.
This is the rest we are to labor to enter into. So now then, what is labor? What is work? Number two. And that is labor. What is labor that's being spoken of here in this passage, Hebrews in verse 11? 4 verse 11. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
Amen.
We know what the rest is here. We know it is the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
all that he has done for his people. He has defeated the enemy death and brought salvation to some. So now we labor to enter into that rest. The verse indirectly tells us how we do this. We believe the record God gave of his son.
Yes.
It says, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Not believing what God has said about who his son is and what his son did, you will not enter into that rest. So that tells me that in believing this, we do enter into that rest.
Yes.
We, by faith, do enter into this rest. We are instructed here, exhorted here to labor, to enter into that rest in these accounts in chapter 3 and 4. We are to work to believe him. Now we know we do not do this of ourselves, and no one does this of themselves. They do this by believing the gospel. They believe this gospel by faith, which is given by God. Verse 2 says in chapter 4, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it.
Amen.
So the indication here is that if God gives faith, which is then mixed with the gospel being preached, then it will profit you. If God does not give us faith, it will not profit us to hear his gospel at all.
That's it.
There must be a mixing that takes place. The gospel does and must come, but it must be mixed with faith in us. In this happening, then we, to some extent, by the measure of faith God gives us, we believe, and in believing, we enter into that rest, which Jesus Christ has accomplished. Other scriptures have put it this way. Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13 says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
Amen.
We enter into that rest by believing God. We do this by his power, in him giving gifts that enable us to do this. We are placed in Christ. And as Joe has said before, the opposite of in Christ is not outside of Christ. It is without Christ. Entering into his rest is to be in Christ. As we already read in verse 10, it says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. I believe this is speaking of Jesus Christ, who has accomplished his work and entered into his rest. But it is equally true that we cease from our works as well by doing this. By believing God and by his power being translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, being placed in his rest, this all because of his power, but we cease from our works. At the same time, we are laboring to this end. Why is it such a labor to do this? Because we have that same wicked, evil unbelief in us that is spoken of here of those that did not enter into his rest. Those ones whose carcasses fell in the wilderness. We must be watchful because sin will carry us away. This old wicked Adamic heart will deceive us if we are not watchful. We will leave our first love just as those did in the wilderness. Back in chapter 3 of Hebrews, we read in that time when these in the wilderness provoked God. That's a scary thought. Provoking God, that is. And I'll be honest with you. There seems to have been plenty of times where I seem to have found myself provoking God. How do I provoke God? By not believing the record God gave of his Son. Let's read verses 8 through 11 in chapter 3. Verses 8 through 11. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest.
Amen.
What was it that happened here? We all know the account. You had 12 men go into the land to spy out the land. 2 returned with a good report, and the rest returned with an evil report. Joshua and Caleb returned with a good report which believed God. They believed that God had given them this land and that they could go in and take it by the power of his might, that is God's might. There were those who did not believe God, and they said to God, we will not enter in. God was provoked, and he told them that they would not enter in, and they would die in the wilderness. Their carcasses would fall in the wilderness. When God told them this, they, of course, did what all of us would do. They started backpedaling. Oh, wait. No, we will go in. God has just told them that they will not go in after they disobeyed God. And then they said they would go in. Then when God tells them they will not go in but die in the wilderness, they then say, we will go in. So what happened? They did not go in. They provoked God. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness, just as it says here in Hebrews. They would not believe God. They hardened their heart against the simplicity, or that is, that singleness that is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. So this is why we are exhorted to take heed and strive to enter into that rest. This is done, or this begins, by hearing the gospel. He will labor to hear his word proclaimed. It is his word which will show us that rest. Hebrews 4:12 we read, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Amen.
God's word will let us know who and what we are. It will also show us who and what Jesus Christ accomplished. His word, that is specifically his gospel, will get the job done. It will tear you apart. It will lay everything out there wide open to be seen of God. You will be ashamed of yourself when you see the magnificence of him and what he has done. He knows us more than we know ourselves. Hebrews 4:13 says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight.
Yes.
But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do.
Yes.
Who is it that we have to do? God, Jesus Christ the Lord, who is the judge of the quick and dead. He who is our rest knows us to the T. That is, he knows the evil which we do. But there are some who he knows personally, and he knows them in a different way. He knows them based on the work which he has done. The one he knows have no works of their own to bring to him. They are resting in the work that he has done by his grace. So now, we have looked at the rest which is Jesus Christ. That rest being Jesus Christ doing all the works for the salvation of his people. Him doing this and then being seated at the right hand of the Father on high. This is the rest of God, Jesus Christ. We looked at that work or that labor which God himself gives those who are his, that which is needed that they might believe him. They doing this when God sends them his gospel, laboring to enter into that rest. They labor to stop their works, to rest in his works. This flesh wanting to have its way, and this flesh loves to work, work, work. But that new man, which by faith looks to Christ, seeing he has finished the work needed and has sat down at God's right hand, resting. We by faith do enter into that rest, resting in the finished work of his dear Son. And faith, anything that's not of faith, is sin. His gospel letting us know what and who we are and showing us the very rest of God, Jesus Christ. As we go through this life, we should always be looking to him and what he has done, laboring to enter into him who is our rest. This we do by believing him, believing the gospel when God sends us that message, believing him who has informed us that he has fought for us and has taken the land for us. We dare not provoke God and tell him we need to do this or we need to do that, when he has said he has done this. God help us to believe him. We must pray as the one did in Scripture, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. We can do nothing without him, and we can sustain nothing without him. Bruce Crabtree had a message that he preached at Millsite Baptist Church where he was talking about prayer. And he was talking about this man and his family when they were thinking about getting a dog. And he said, the man said that he was going to pray about it. We don't often think of things such as that as something for which we should look to God for guidance about, do we? We think of them as trivial things when it comes to doing things like that. But you start taking care of a dog, if you care about the animal anyway, and you'll find out that it's not just a small matter to do this. We should look to him for all things, not just dogs, anything that you're doing. You should be looking to God for your help, your guidance. What we do should all be to the honor and glory of his name. And in order to do that, it must come from him. It must be done in faith, and it is he that gives this faith. This faith which looks to him always and only, because he rested from his work. He rested because he was done. You all know the saying, salvation is not due, salvation is done. And I like that saying. Can we enter into that which Jesus Christ is? He is our rest because he has done the work needed and he is now seated. Is there something that God needs us to do? I don't know if you all remember the message Walter preached on the Jubilee, but just as Walter said in that message, I will say again, Christ has blown that Jubilee trumpet. Jubilee has come for some. There is nothing for us to bring. We are fully restored whole by that which he has done on that tree. The trumpet had a very distinct sound. It sounded like this. It is finished. Can you rest there? God, help me to rest in him. Keep me, O God. I want to be found in him who is my rest. May you cause me always to look to you for everything I need, because that is where salvation is found, right there, in your rest. Let us work to rest. Amen.